In 2023, I did 23 marketing tips, and you guys have been asking for me to do something like that again. So today we're going to do 24 business tips.
Welcome to Small Business Talk for Coaches with Kathy Smith. This podcast is the ultimate resource for coaches looking to transform their coaching passion into a thriving business. Kathy Smith began a journey as a marketing professional in 2001 and has helped thousands of businesses to grow. Kathy specializes in helping coaches and is dedicated to showing you how to get your first clients and then many more. If you are ready to take your coaching practice to the next level, then you are in the right place. Whether you are just starting your coaching journey or you're an experienced coach not seeing the results you desire, this podcast is for you.
Welcome to Small Business Talk for Coaches, episode 245. Now, in 2023, I did 23 marketing tips, and you guys have been asking for me to do something like that again. So today we're going to do 24 business tips. I thought I'd expand it out a bit. So this will be part one of a three-part series. So I hope you enjoy. And if there's any tips you would like included, just contact me. Let me know. All right, let's start with number one. Talk to your ideal audience. Make sure that you are talking to that one person, that you are hitting that dartboard right in the middle so that you've got the most chance. Even if it ricochets a bit, you're still going to get pretty close to it. So think of that one person as your best friend, your BFF. What would they like? Is that going to resonate with them? Make sure that you're really hitting the mark with your messaging and getting it really clear. So I've done lots of different episodes on that, but in particular, look at 243, the rule of one, went quite in depth in that one. 236, should I be expanding my audience? Question I get asked a lot, so check that one out. And 194, how to add value to your customers, because what we get paid is about value. It's not about price. You see that all the time with people driving really flash cars. You can't see that the value of those cars are so much more than the average car, but they often pay huge prices and lots of other things. So value definitely equals price. So check those out. All right, number two. How to effectively market your business. Should you be talking to everyone? Well, I think I've already made a conclusive case that you shouldn't. So now that you've got your ideal person, how can you talk to them? How can you get that message really clear so that you are that category of one? Apple has done it so well. You're either an Apple person or you're an Android person. And the two don't mix, do they? Very rarely do they swap over because Apple has done it so very well. And to some extent, Samsung, but not as much. So be that category one. Be the only choice for your person. Make sure that they understand that you know what their problem is and you're the one to solve it. And that can make it so much easier when you're trying to do your messaging and talking to them. And even your coaching gets easier because you're talking to the similar sort of people with the same sort of problems. You know that Jane had this problem and this is how she solved it, or she tried this different thing. So when you're coaching, that can be those powerful questions that you need to help to get your participants or your clients to the answers they need. All right, so let's look at 174, should I be paying for marketing? 165, why won't my phone ring? Isn't that a common thing? Why am I not getting those consults? Why am I not getting those inquiries back off my social media? And 153, marketing is hard. No, it doesn't have to be. And there's lots of ways to make it much easier, even for you. I know you're saying it's not the case, but yes, it can be. Listen to those ones and see what you think. All right, now let's go to number three. So we've talked about our ideal audience. We've talked about how to market to them. Now what about that experience, that great customer experience? What is the little things that we're doing? So one of my super fans and has now become a friend, she does gift baskets, and not just average gift baskets from a particular region. So shout out to Jackie from Margaret River to you. They're amazing. They have these great products in them, and quite often she hand delivers them. So then you know what the customer's getting, and they feed it back to her. So it's amazing the things that they tell her, and you get that fed back. Now, obviously, she can't do that all over the world, but even those baskets, being that little bit different, shows the customer that you care. So what is it you can do a little bit differently? Can you make their payment easier? Can you give them homework? Do you not give them homework? That might be a thing. Making it easier for busy people who don't want homework. There's lots of things that you can do in that customer journey, and making sure that their experience with you is the best possible. And that also adds to the value, which can help your price. So for customer service, let's look at 238, how people buy. Nobody wants to be sold to, that icky salesman thing. Nobody wants that. But we all want the choice to buy, and especially when we are looking to buy. You've heard me say the fridge analogy a lot of times. The fridge broke down just as I was about to head away on holidays. The house sitters needed one. Suddenly, I ended up with a black fridge. Never thought in a million years I'd have a black fridge, but it was what I wanted, not the color, but the style and the model, and I needed it right now, and I could get it right now. So ended up with a black fridge. Now I have lots of black appliances in my kitchen so that they match the black fridge. So who would know? So that's 238, how people buy. Then there's 229, stop selling coaching. Might sound a bit counterintuitive, but listen to it and check it out. So it's more about we're not selling the features, we're selling the emotion, we're selling what the people will actually get, the benefits. So check that one out. And then 218, how to improve the customer experience for repeat and referral based. We all want to work with people that we love, and it's really easy to be that category of one when somebody says, go to Kathy. She's the greatest coach for coaches wanting marketing. Most people won't look anywhere else if they've got that amazing referral. So be that category of one. All right, number four. Websites. So if you've listened to any of my podcasts, you'll know that that's where I started. That is my passion. You cannot build a house on rented land. Well, not if you don't own the land, of course. So a lot of people put a lot of their business into social media, and then the rules change and your history. So recently, Pinterest has changed their advertising rules. So people that have had great, particularly weight loss businesses, in Pinterest, suddenly overnight, they can't do it anymore. So make sure that you have a really solid website. Websites are great because then people can go back to them. They can search. It doesn't matter what platform it's on. As long as you've got that domain, you can move it around. But be careful with the all-in-one platforms if you are needing to move it, because quite often in those situations, you will actually have to start again. So let's look at 182, five ways to get organic traffic to your website. And 171, is it worth investing in a web design for your website? And 169, why should I spend money on a website that's not bringing me leads? Generally, it means that there is a problem. So definitely check that out. And the website really needs to be the hub of your business. What's the first thing that most people do when they're looking for a business? They either go to socials or they go to Google or variations of, and then they check out your website. And there's very few serious businesses that don't have a website. So even if you're just starting out, if you've got a small website, that bumps you out of that hobby stage. It really does cement you as a serious business. So you really do need to have a website, and you need to be using your domain name as your emails. Now, if you're a Google person, you can run it through your Gmail. It won't say Gmail. It will say your domain name. And if you're a Microsoft person, then Office 365 or Microsoft 365 can also run your custom domains. So please, please, please make sure you do have your own domain name as your email and you're not using your provider or just Gmail. And once again, that will put you up into that serious business category. And you might think it's such a small thing, but it really does make a difference, particularly if you are looking for some of those corporate coaching jobs, or even if you're looking for government. It does make such a difference. So small things, but please do it. All right, number five, planning your social media. So you might be thinking that I don't like social media. Well, you'd be wrong, because social media is free on most part. So it is part of your marketing suite, but it shouldn't be your only marketing. So using that as education, using it sometimes to sell, but not all the time. Good mix. So making sure that people can hear you, see you, feel you, digitally, of course. And think about how confident you are about putting things out there. If you wouldn't tell your grandmother in the middle of a shopping center or a mall, then do not put it on social media, because even delete doesn't mean it has been deleted. So just be a little bit careful what you're putting out there. And TMI, we all know when too much is too much. So depending on your personality, that TMI filter might be different to others, but make sure that you're doing it in a way that works for your business and your customers. If you're going out after particularly conservative customers, then obviously you might need to be thinking about how conservative you want to be. If your customers like swearing, well, that's great. If they don't, well, you're not going to attract them. So think about what works for you as a person, being authentic, and then also what works for your customer. And by planning it out, that's really easy. You're not doing it ad hoc. You're not just going, oh, it's Monday. What am I going to put out today? It's Thursday. What do I do now? And most can be scheduled. So Facebook and Instagram have their own schedulers. LinkedIn also has a scheduler now, and I'm sure some of the other ones do. And if not, there's definitely third parties that you can, software that you can use. So schedule it ahead of time. You can always add a couple of spontaneous ones, add them here or there, particularly if you've got a great testimonial or you're in an event or something like that. That always spices it up. But you know that your main content is going to be running out day in, day out without you. And it's good to keep a check on that to just make sure it is appropriate and running through. So plan your social media. That was number five. All right, let's go for number six. Video, leveraging the power of video. Yes, I know you don't like video. I don't particularly like it either, although I am getting better at it. But it is far easier to cut that customer journey when they can hear you and see you. And it's very difficult. Well, it's getting easier now with AI, but it's generally not as easy to not be authentic on video. So making sure that you are leveraging the video. If you're really stuck, you can not do the talking head, the face-to-face, and do it as a slideshow presentation and then use your voice. That's not as good, but it's still video. You can put photos together to make a slideshow and turn that into video. Once again, not as good, but it is using those algorithms for the video. So the more you can do, the more you practice, the better you're going to be and the more comfortable you're going to be. So please do think about adding video and leveraging it. Now you can repurpose it. So like now, this goes onto YouTube as well. So we've got a long form video, but then we can cut it up and use it as well. You can also repurpose. So generally they say about 42 days and people forget what your content is. So you can repurpose that. You can just literally repost it the first way you did. You can use it between the different platforms, cut it into snippets, have some long form, lots of things you can do with video. So please, please, please do try to get over your fear and use video. And so that brings us to the first suggestion for this section, which is 232, The Psychology of Fear. That was a great episode. So check that one out. 147, how are you showing up? And 131, are you inspiring? Nothing worse than having a boring person on video. You need to be inspiring. And you'll learn once you get onto video that you have to be a bit more animated. So that one, I was putting my hands up and being very animated. So if you're listening to the audio, you can guess what I was doing. So yeah, you do need to be a little bit more over the top with video to make it come across. Otherwise, it will sound very boring. So yes, think about that. Practice, 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 and just put it out there. There's no point practicing and not putting it out there because you won't get the feedback and you won't get to do it. And the more you practice, the better you're at, you will be. And you know what? You're your harshest critic. Most people won't notice that your hair's not exactly spot on or your lipstick's slightly different shade or, guys, whatever it is that you're worrying about or whether you don't identify at all and what you're worrying about. So just do it, because we see so much more the person that's doing it than the audience. And when you do get successful, you might get a few haters, but it's a small percentage. So think about the people that you're helping by putting it out there, and you can't help them if you don't put it out there. All right, so that was, where were we up to? We were up to, that was number six, so now it's number seven. So setting your goals. So it's all very great to have all these different things, but if you don't know where you're going, you don't know the destination, then it's really hard for you to set a goal. So set a goal. So I like SMART goals, which are measurable. But I was listening to a podcast by Brendan Burchard the other day, and he was talking about dumb goals. So that was really interesting. And he was talking about making them much bigger and dreaming about them and not being able to actually set a SMART goal because you don't know how you're going to get there. You don't know what time frame it's going to be in. And it's definitely not measurable at this point. So whether you're setting a dumb goal or a SMART goal, you just need to set a goal and you need to start breaking down those chunks so that you can get an idea. So dreaming is great, but if you're not actioning it and you don't know where you're going, then it's going to be really difficult to make that happen. All right, so the episodes for that one will be 239, the key to your coaching success. We want you to have a thriving business. You want to have a thriving business. So let's start working on those goals to get you to the key to your coaching success. All right, 237. So how to manage and remove negative beliefs, because we are our worst enemies and we have these sneaky little things that stop us doing things. And sometimes they're really hard to uncover, which is exactly why you need a coach as well. So something that might keep you stuck is, I don't have a community. Well, we all have to start somewhere. So don't be afraid of starting small. Just that little belief. You wouldn't believe how that can stop somebody. So don't let it stop you. And then 129, failing ahead of time. So that's a famous one by Brooke Castelio. She always says that. She says, don't fail before you've even started. And that quite often is not starting, not dreaming, not doing it. You know that you want to be an author, but you don't actually write. Or you start writing, but you're still on your computer. Or you don't get it edited. 3 years later, this fantastic book is still there. That's failing ahead of time. So check that one out, because that is a great episode. All right, now we are up to number eight. Now, this is a bit of a scary one. Making sure that you are investing in cybersecurity prevention. Now, there's two episodes there, and they're both by the magical Katrina Ford. She's an amazing lady here locally in Western Australia, does great things with cyber and helps businesses to prevent attacks. Because one of the things that you may not realize is that most cybersecurity attacks are done by people. So I don't mean the people that are sending it. I mean you clicking on a link or sending a text or looking at something and going to a website that's not safe. Quite often, they trick you. They're so very clever. And you click on it, and before you know it, something's happened. And quite often it can sit there for a little while. So it's not even actionable between the time that somebody clicks on it to the event. So it could be a sleeper one that sits there for a while and then suddenly does it. Could be more instantaneous. So the two episodes there to check out are 202, how the human element of cybersecurity could be affecting your business, and number 85, so a long way back, but definitely still as relevant, and that is the real risk of cybersecurity to your small business. And you might think, it's not going to happen to me, I'm all good, but unfortunately, some magical a number, really bad numbers, I think it's like 70% or even more of businesses that have cyber attacks do not recover. You do not want to be in that. And like I say, it might be even more. I'm pretty sure the stats are on one of those podcasts. So check it out. So you don't want to have a cybersecurity attack. You don't want to have to try and recover it because many businesses don't. So making sure that you do have those backups, those fail safes, and you check them. So very, very important. So I hope you've liked these tips. So number one was talk to your audience. Number two was market your business effectively. Number three, creating that great customer experience. Number four, make sure that you have a website and it's updated and it does reflect what you're doing now. The amount of times that you go to websites and they don't reflect what they do anymore. So make sure that you are keeping it updated. Number five, plan your social media content. Number six, leverage the power of video. Number seven, set your goals. And number eight, invest in cybersecurity. It really, really is important. So this will be part one of three. So I look forward to doing 9 to 16 next week. So SBT community, remember, enjoy your journey. Hey, did you enjoy this podcast? Why don't you go and check out the Coach's Marketing Roadmap, your step-by-step guide to accelerate your journey to a thriving coaching business. thecoachesmarketingroadmap.com.au. And don't forget to subscribe to Small Business Talk for Coaches podcast. Go to smallbusinesstalk.com.au for all the show notes from this episode. Remember, coaches, to be great, you must start. Pick one tip from today's episode, take action, and implement it. Coaches, you've got this. Let's meet again next week at the same time and place. Remember, just start. One step at a time, take consistent action, and enjoy your journey.